sun's rising over America. Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Let's get rolling. Call 866-680-6464. Atlantic to Pacific, north to south, across the globe. It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America.
So you guys will have to tell me which brackets have been busted worse than last week. Is it the NCAA basketball tournament or is it the Republican Party's nomination process? Hi, everybody. It's Stephen Hayward sitting in today and tomorrow for Bill Bennett on Morning in America. And we're going to have a lot of fun here the next couple of days. I didn't keep up last night, but I think I saw that Texas A&M came from 12 points down in the last 30 seconds to beat somebody.
Yeah, to beat Northern Iowa.
Boy, good.
Unbelievable.
My goodness. My bracket, I have to say, it had Kansas winning. Unfortunately, that is also President Obama's pick. And you never want to be on exactly the same side as him. But we'll come back to all that. Meanwhile, the big news continues to be the busted bracket of the Republican nomination contest. The metaphor of the media for this year has been lanes, right? If you follow the commentary.
Oh, the establishment lane, the outsider lane.
Right, the evangelical lane and libertarian lane, I suppose. That was supposed to be Rand Paul. And no one saw Donald Trump coming along driving a monster truck the wrong way through all the lanes. Right. Well, I join Bill in saying that we want to be fair above all to all comers in a presidential contest. The story with Trump moves so fast. We saw these new riots in Chicago, deliberate provocations by the left the other day. And it's pretty clear that the left has decided that Donald Trump must be silenced. And so that makes you want to almost come to his defense, right? I think I'll start off this morning by offering five ways to think about Trump. Maybe I won't get through all five. We might just do two or three. And there's more than five ways to think about him. And a couple of them I hope are original. A couple of them are simply amplifying what some other people have already said that I think makes a lot of sense. But I'll start with my original contribution, I think, which is the first way to think of Trump. Please don't take this the wrong way, listeners, because I will explain why this is actually a positive thing. The first way to think about Trump is to think about professional wrestling. I know that'll sound odd.
Right.
One thing, if you get on YouTube, and this is worth doing just because of great entertainment value, but there's more to it than that. If you go on YouTube, and since this is radio, I can't show it to you, and the sound wouldn't work. But if you go on YouTube and put in the search window Donald Trump WWE wrestling, about a 5-minute clip will come up from 5 minutes ago. And it's one of these enormous televised professional wrestling matches. And it's the usual mayhem. There are chairs being thrown. There are people being thrown down on the mat. Two of the referees get into a fist fight with each other. And there's Vince McMahon, the impresario of one of the big wrestling enterprises. And then suddenly Donald Trump shows up. And he gets into a fake fight, obviously, on the floor of the arena with Vince McMahon, and yells and screams and jumps around. And then it all culminates with Donald Trump in the ring pulling out a pair of electric barber shears and shaving the head of Vince McMahon. And it's an enormous stadium packed with people yelling and cheering. Now, one of the reasons I bring this up is that I'm not sure how many of our listeners either watch or attend professional wrestling. It's one of those sports like NASCAR that is sneered at by the cultural elites, the culture despisers, as George Will used to call them back in the Reagan era. The other day, David Brooks, a friend of mine, a person I like very much but often disagree with, he wrote in this column in the New York Times, gosh, a lot of us just have never gotten out amongst the people who are for Trump, and that's why we missed all this coming. And this was a column saying he's still resolutely against Trump. And I got to thinking, David, here's a metaphor, I think, for that sort of world, the Upper West Side of New York or Montgomery County, Maryland, which is where David actually lives, where I think the number of people who have attended or even watched professional wrestling asymptotically approaches zero. Right. Now, what's this about? People watch it for 10 seconds and say, well, this is all fake. Right. These are all fake battles. Right. And that's true. However, if you step back for a moment and think about it, what these are moral melodramas. Right. There's a good guy. There's a bad guy. You get to cheer for your hero. You get to boo the villain. They're character sketches. And it's stylized violence in the same way you have it in a lot of Hollywood movies, I suppose. It's maybe not balletic, as we sometimes say about Quentin Tarantino movies. But you see, the point is that these are morality plays. There's often a character called the Punisher, right, or some synonym for Punisher. Well, Donald Trump is the Punisher of our political cycle. By the way, the person who pointed out to me that really I should think well of professional wrestling was a really important conservative here in Washington, and I should give him a shout-out because he passed away last summer, and it was John Von Cannon of the Heritage Foundation, known as the Baron to his friends, the Baron Von Cannon.
Sounds like a wrestling name.
It does. Well, he actually went to professional wrestling events. I've never been to one. I have been to some monster truck events, which is the professional wrestling with huge trucks. It's a wonderful thing to do, by the way. It's very kid-friendly. About half the audience is kids. And I had a 10-year-old boy who thought monster trucks were fabulous. He watched Monster Jam reruns every day on TV after school. In any case, Trump is the Punisher of professional wrestling. That, by the way, just to be clear to the listening audience, that is meant as a compliment and not as a criticism. I'm sure any liberals listening will think, well, it just figures, those downscale people. But if you look at any clip of professional wrestling and you cast your eyes up to the audience, those are the same people turning out for Donald Trump rallies. They're the same people who, in many cases, don't vote regularly, or maybe you're independent. So I think that's one way of thinking about Trump is he understands the some populist aspects of America that the traditional thinkers, myself included, tend not to get. That's one thing I'd say. I think point number two is he's starting to remind me a bit of Nixon. Now, I don't mean that Trump is the same as Nixon in terms of the things, the bad side of Nixon we think about. I don't think that at all. Or Nixon's good side, how talented and intelligent a person he was. I don't think Trump has Nixon's talent. When I say he reminds me of Nixon, we all started to like Nixon. I'm old enough to remember this now because of the enemies he made. The left hated Nixon so viciously that you almost had to come to his defense. I'll mention that one of my mentors right out of college, more than 30 years ago now, was the great M. Stanton Evans, who passed away a couple of years ago. And, he was the longtime chairman of the American Conservative Union. And he used to say, a real conservative is someone who didn't support Nixon until after Watergate. Right? I mean, he was always very critical of Nixon while he was in the White House. I mean, one of his favorite sayings back around 1970, 71 was, there's only two things I don't like about the Nixon administration. It's domestic policy and it's foreign policy. And when Watergate all happened, he said, after wage and price controls, Watergate came like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, man.
No, he was full of all those kind of jokes. And, he told me one time he called over to the White House in the middle of their Watergate agony and said, gosh, if I knew you guys had been doing all of this neat stuff, I wouldn't have been so hard on you. Well, that was Stan's great ironic wit, which he could turn against liberals. In fact, I'll just give you one more from more recently. It was after the 2010 election. And you remember that was the first great Tea Party Republican landslide. And, what happened was is liberals freaked out about that election, as they always do when Republicans win in a big way. And Stan said, well, yes, this represents a return to fiscal responsibility, pro-family values, strong foreign policy. In other words, hate. That's just the cliche the left can't help. And that's what they're saying now about Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is careless sometimes in the way he expresses himself. I do not think he is a bigot or a racist. I think those charges are completely incorrect about him. And I can tell you why. I just think that doesn't actually fit his character. I do think he is not as careful as he should be in what's going on around him. But we're going to see how that unfolds. As I say, he's the Punisher or the Disruptor. Point number three before we go to our first break here in about 30 seconds. I have been struck with the number of independent voters in the states that have open primaries who have told pollsters and journalists that they are undecided between Trump and Bernie Sanders. Now, what can that be about? I mean, you can't get any more opposite than Trump and Bernie Sanders. I mean, after all, Trump is a part of the billionaire class that Sanders wants to lock up and send to Guantanamo. Right, doesn't he?
Unless it's closed.
Right. Well, we'll say more about this. This suggests that a lot of people want the political system disrupted, which is why you shouldn't underestimate both Trump and, for that matter, Bernie Sanders. It's Stephen Hayward sitting in for Bill Bennett today on Morning in America. More after the break, including your phone calls starting to come in. I'll have more ways to think about Donald Trump. But also, we want to talk about Ted Cruz and John Kasich some this morning, too. Trump gets too much attention. We want to give some attention to the other guys. Don't go away. We'll be right back in a moment. Make my way now.